Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with you this morning. I have with me my beloved wife and best friend, Patricia Joy Xavier. Good morning, Patricia. How are you today?
Well, I'm taken back a little bit because we had this situation happen with Blog Talk Radio. And sometimes you wonder what's going on.
Yeah, welcome to the world of technology today. We're getting about a 30-minute late start and a couple of apologies. There were a group of people that got put onto the list that may be not wanting to be on the list to listen to the broadcast. And the only thing we could say, number one, is we apologize that you were invited to this radio broadcast. And the only way to get out of it is to go into your settings and put a block on our email text or our text that come to you in the morning inviting you to the broadcast. We do apologize for that. I'm not sure where that group came from. There were about 12 people in the group. So if you're there, please do not be dismayed or disgruntled with us. We just saw a group of 12 people that received a text message and an invitation. So what you need to do is just block that text. So you shouldn't receive any more. For those of you that are with us today, wherever you are in this world, we're broadcasting right now 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the Omega Radio Network. We're broadcasting all over the world. You're listening to The Watchman. We broadcast every day, Monday through Friday, from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And today we're going to have a conversation about the end times. And much of the conversation in the last days is dealing with the end times scenario. And a lot of times we think, well, if it's the end times, you know, what does that look like? What does that mean? People have said that for such a long time. Well, what we do in this ministry is we look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times, and we seek to interpret their meaning so that we know how to conduct our lives as men and women of God, men and women of faith, those who have been born again by the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's what we do. And so we're looking through the lens of Scripture. And many times when we think about the end times, we think about the external things that we see going on in the world. And we see a lot of interesting things going on in the world in which we live. But we also want to pay attention to what Jesus taught us and the apostles taught us about the end times concerning the condition of our hearts. Remember, life is a vapor. You and I are here for a moment. We don't know when our last breath will be. Unfortunately, 12 people found out this last couple of days that life is, doesn't just go on automatically. And 12 people have lost their lives, which has had an impact. And our hearts go out to the families and to everybody connected to them. But this is not the first time. It's a tragedy. It'll always be a tragedy. But we, these things are going on everywhere. People are losing their homes to flooding, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, 500 tornadoes. Are you kidding me? In the last 40 days, there are huge events going on in our world. But we are still here. And we are confident that the Spirit of God is guiding us through the Word. So I want to talk and explore today something that I just can't get away from, quite frankly. And it's in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 14. We've been talking much about the condition of our hearts and how Jesus taught in Matthew, chapter 24, about in the last days, how the love of many will wax cold and that many will be offended. And we're going to go back there in just a moment. But here's something that really connects to that idea. In Mark chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus is explaining a parable that he had taught to the people around and about him. And obviously, his words are timeless. So this message is for you and I today. And so, Patricia, here we go. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower, Jesus said, in explaining the parable, sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And now particular attention to verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Okay, so let's look at 16 and 17 again, because this is where our concern for our personal lives. This is what Jesus was trying to get across in his messages to as many as that would listen to him, that in the last days, there is going to be a lot of offense. And in the parable of the soils of the heart, he's kind of driving this point in that there are individuals that are going to hear the word of God and in verse 16, immediately receive it with gladness. Okay, do we know ourselves to be that way or do we know others to be that way? We hear the word and immediately we're taking it in. We're very glad, but there's no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So this individual immediately receives the word of God with gladness, but just as immediately becomes offended when affliction or persecution arises. Now, I want to look at a few words here. Number one, stony ground. What does it simply mean? It's just a rocky place. And what do the stones represent in the heart or in the soil of a man or woman's heart? Those are hard places. And sometimes through generational bloodline curses, sometimes through our own sin, our own hard-headedness, whatever the case is, life beats against every human being on this planet, and sometimes it creates really hard places where we become callous, we become bitter, we become offended, right? And so these rocks of offense, these areas of our life that we have just not been able to forgive someone, we have not been able to let go of some things, we've not been able to cultivate, get the rock out of there and plow the ground and, you know, and then till it and make it nice and soft. There are things that yet remain, and yet there is a desire to hear the word of God. Okay, so the word comes, and there's an immediate reception of that word and with a gladness of heart. But the problem is they have no root. And I looked at that word root, and it's very interesting. You know, it talks simply up front about what you would imagine from a tree or progeny even or a offspring metaphorically. But this is the part that got my attention. The word root here is spoken of one who has but a superficial experience of divine truth, has not permitted it to make its way into the inmost recesses of his soul. Think about that. This, having no root, is spoken of one who has but a superficial experience of divine truth. And what is the word superficial? It means external. It means surface. It means shallow. And this is a condition of someone's heart that doesn't have any root. And why is there no root? Because that stony place, those hard places of the heart, those bitter experiences that have never been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb or by the work of the cross. And so people move forward in their life. They hear this word, but it never gets down deep inside. It only stays at a superficial layer. It never penetrates. It never goes to the inmost recesses of the soul. And Patricia, you know, you've written a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. That is kind of a huge meaning, is it not?
Well, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, means exactly what it says, that we as Christians have rights, and those rights are to be set free of every bondage that causes us difficulties in our lives. A stony heart would do that. And it is time that the Lord reveals to us those things within our hearts that need to be dealt with, that have not been dealt with. This is one of the reasons for persecution, that we may take an inward look and see whether or not we have been in offense and dealt with things wrongly. We cannot afford to do that at this time. It matters not whether Babylon is here or Babylon is not here, or the mark of the beast or the beast system is around and about us, squeezing every bit of joy from us that it possibly can do. What matters is where we are within our own life and heart. And this is the revelation that God has given me. Through Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, we can be set free of every generational bloodline curse. And believe me, they do exist. Even doctors want to know what our past history is if we're not feeling well and they're checking us for an ailment. They'll ask us, does your parent, mother, father have this? Well, the same is true of generational bloodline curses of sickness, disease, mentality in the DNA. And the Lord set us free. And my book explains that we could recognize these things within our life if we take notice. Also, those things that we have our own commitment to or non-commitment to will be revealed in these days. And this is where our work is, through the book Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, to cast out strongholds that have kept us from the very existence of the joy of our salvation and eternal life.
Excellent. Well said, Patricia Joy. So let's go back now to Mark chapter 4, verse 15. And I got to just briefly look at this first part of the parable where Jesus said, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And he asked the question, well, why? And it all has to do with that phrase there, the wayside. And what that is actually referring to is the particular way of thinking that people have been treading. In other words, it speaks of a road well-traveled. And when you think about individuals that have basically paved their way, they think a certain way, they've been grounded in their way of thinking or their mode of thought or the way of doing things. Have you ever met anybody like that, that they, you know, that's just the way they are. They became that way. So when the word came, it is a confrontation to their own way. And so because of that confrontation, immediately the devil comes and steals that word out of their heart. And so we have to be careful in the days that we're living in that we don't, tread a particular path and wear it out into a rut so that nothing could get us off that beaten path, so to speak. And so we need to be available and ready and willing to turn at the instructions of the Lord. And in these days that we're living in, we know we've all learned a particular way of doing things, but Jesus must be the way for you and I, which means his word must be the pathway that we always follow. So we have these two so far. We have the people on the wayside, and then we have people that have the stony ground. And there's one other, the parable of the soils in verse 18 or verse 19. Now let's see, where are we at here, Patricia Joy? Verse 18. All right, this is Monday morning. Wow.
We've been thrown off this morning, that's for sure.
All weekend. All right, so, and these are they, verse 18, which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Well, again, this is the condition of the heart, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. So whether it is a way that we have labored so hard to be a particular way or in a particular way, we have to address that issue. Whether it's offenses in our heart, hard places in the heart, they're going to cause us to become without root and no root, no fruit. You know that. And then, of course, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, somehow thinking that wealth is going to make it all right. Remember, it's a vapor. Now, what I want to do is concentrate on verses 16 and 17 again, because in 17, we're told they have no root in themselves, and so do what? They endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, Matthew 24, verse 9, Jesus talking to the disciples says to them in verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, there's that word, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. This is the last days now. And then shall many be offended. We just read in Mark chapter 4, in the parable of the soils, that they have no root in themselves, and they become immediately offended, okay, because of persecution or affliction. Jesus is talking about affliction, and he says, then shall many be offended, shall betray one another, shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, in verse 11 of Matthew 24, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, verse 13, but he that shall endure, not for a while, but unto the end, the same shall be saved. Patricia, it almost sounds like Jesus is saying what is coming in the affliction and the persecution, if you have the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things, if you have areas of your life that are bitter and resentful and there's no forgiveness in those areas, or you've just learned a certain way of life and Jesus's way is so much of a confrontation that you just, you know, having a hard time receiving, doing things the way he wants to do it, that these are the things that create an atmosphere of fruitlessness. And yet we know that the good soil, where these things are not inside, they're not there, and there's a willingness to follow the Lord in the way that he prescribes, and we have forgiven everyone, we have no bitterness within us, we have no resentment, no callous areas, we haven't become hardened inside of us, we've dealt with that through mercy and forgiveness and tender loving kindness, the same that was given to us, and then we've given up the idea of being the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, like living in life to go after money, and that's going to be the end of all things. We've given that up as well. And the lust for other things, anything that we desire above God is an idol. And this is what we find in the first of the commandments. So when the heart is free of those things and those things have been cleared out, now comes that word that is sown in the heart, and we see a production of fruitfulness 30, 60, 100 fold. Your thoughts?
Oftentimes we hear these things and we think we're talking, or we imagine somehow that we're talking about people that aren't Christians and what we see going around and about us with individuals that we hear on the news or individuals that we know personally. Well, yes, we expect them to act in an ungodly manner, but no. These scriptures are speaking of the church and people within the body of Christ. And we have to keep our focus on that. The world's already under condemnation, but the Lord wants us to understand and know his heart for his church. And what he has spoken will be the people of his liking and the people of his bride and the people of his manifested sons and daughters on earth. And the majority of people these days, now in the church I'm talking about, have become selfish because of the times we're in, really self-centered, self-righteous. Truthfully, the majority of people that I see these days have become simply proud, and they're disobedient because of that pride. They're unholy. They're not being thankful. They're unthankful. They're high-minded. And that, you know, strangely enough, is all spoken of in Ephesians 3:1 and 1 Timothy 3. And so we look upon all of this and say, we better change. We better search our hearts and be sure that the Word of God is not falling on rocky ground. And in that rocky ground, not able to take root and manifest its power within our lives to change us, truly change us, which in the way was meant to be when the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross shed his blood for our sin, and he forgave us. And I have found that multitudes of Christians are still in unforgiveness, some of them not even aware that they're in unforgiveness. Going to church every Sunday, whatever the days are that they meet for Bible study, and still carrying offenses and unforgiveness in their heart. And every offense I have ministered against to people that came for deliverance, within them was the sin of unforgiveness. And quite frankly, we cannot be forgiven by God if we don't forgive others what they have done against us. And so it's like a circle that goes on and on and on, and they're not getting the conclusion of it all. Forgive everyone that has offended you and be not offended. And if you are, deal quickly with it and recognize it, because some of it is clouded by our own hardness of heart.
And Patricia, wouldn't it be fair to say that if someone has all the wealth of the world, Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but loses his soul? And so everything has to put in perspective. Now, there is a scripture in 2 Thessalonians, most of the people tuning in right now would be very familiar with, where the Apostle Paul was talking about the last days, things that would come to pass. And he said, one of the things that has to take place before the Lord returns is what is known as the apostasy. It's called the falling away. And in the definition of Matthew 24, of the word many be offended, that word actually refers to a stumbling block or to cause to fall away.
Well, you know, along with that, and it's such a truism, in 2 Timothy 4:3-4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I want to make a comment about those that don't want to hear what is being said on Omega Radio. I know through the years of study and proclamation and what has moved within us by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are teaching sound doctrine. But this scripture says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, what does that mean? That means they'll go to church every Sunday, and they'll listen to teachers that have not been speaking the truth by the Holy Spirit to them. I call it mixture. They would have doctrines of truth, but other doctrines mixed within it that are not truth. And because of that, it will be a house divided within the hearer. So they will heap unto themselves ministers that are teaching that is not fully ordained by the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ and his word. And because they have itching ears, they will turn away their ears from when they hear truth, and they will turn unto these fables that are half-truths.
Amen. Amen and amen. A scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. This is where the word of God helps us to examine where our heart is, okay? And Jesus said in Matthew 6, 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so in the parable of the soils, we have to continually examine ourselves. Are we offended? Are we living life the way that we've prepared for years and years to become a certain way, and the word of God confronts us? In other words, we're on the wayside. Or are we concerned about this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things? The word of God should be the treasure of all treasures. Following Jesus is the treasure of all treasures. Jesus Christ is our treasure, and the Holy Spirit is our treasure, and Father God is our treasure. And so we treasure the eternal things. We have to keep everything in perspective and remember that everything is temporary. And even if we did gain the whole world, we would eventually leave it all behind. We're taking nothing with us. Paul writes to Timothy and says, we came into the world naked. We're leaving the same way. We brought nothing into this world. We're bringing nothing out of it. And so we have to be aware that the devil, the god of this world, is seeking to entice many people into a lust or a desire or a thirst for the things of the world. And so there comes this famine of the word of God and the hearing of the words of God. And if we do not treasure and value God's words in these days, I have a sense that the many that are going after stuff, when they don't get what they want, they're going to be offended. And so these are the scriptures that guide us. And we have to just continue to go to the cross and ask ourselves, am I emptied out? You know, am I willing to do it God's way? Yes. Am I forgiving everybody, or am I easily offended? Am I quickly offended, immediately offended when things don't go my way? If so, have I dealt with that issue, the cause of that issue? I say, okay, yes, I've dealt with that. I forgive everybody. I let everybody go, because to forgive means to let go. Literally just let it go in love and cover by the blood of Jesus. Praise God. And you'll know if you've done that or not by what comes out of your mouth, because everything is in your heart, right? And then I need to ask myself, am I caught up in the cares of this world? Am I caught up in the deceitfulness of riches, that life is all about making money, or that somehow money is going to make me happy? That's never the truth. And then number three, I have a lust or desire for other things other than God. And if I could say, no, you know, I've dealt with all these things, then folks, your life is going to begin to produce the fruit of a new creation. There's going to be evidence. There's going to be proof. It's not going to be rootless. In other words, just superficial, shallow, external. Your faith, your relationship with God is going to go into the depths, And then whatever God leads you to do in this life, the purpose for your existence, the value of why you're here. You know, if you live that out for 1 hour, you're going to be one of the most useful people on the planet. You know how many people have died with so much potential but have never lived out the destiny, the calling, the purpose of their existence? And if you and I could find that for 1 hour and live within it for 1 hour, my God, we've lived a greater life than most people on the planet. But there is a very active force, is there not, Patricia Joy, that has come and is operating and prowling around this earth to destroy people's lives. And it's going to happen within the church, within the company of believers. That's where the offense is coming. That's where the betrayal is coming. That's where the hatred's coming. That's where the killing is coming, from people that have been offended, because the love of many is chilling. It's waxing cold.
You see, what you are doing right now, you are listening to the Holy Spirit, and you are preaching the Word of God, skillfully handling the Word of God. And I think what has gone wrong, I mean this with all of my heart, that the truth the average person today gets is on TV, literally. And Satan came to you instead of coming, of you coming to God through this method and through this way. And I know that there are teachers that are teaching the Word incorrectly. And this is another thing that has caused us a great deal of difficulty. They are smooth words. They are not getting into the root of the problem of sin. And instead, they are coming out with good ideas, more psychological than moving in the strength of God's word, in power and in might. It's a sad indictment, really, and it's very hurtful, from what I have seen. And I think we better start understanding that that's food poisoning. And it's beginning to hurt the multitude of Christians in the days we're in. Seek out the Word of God, and from people that are not dividing the Word incorrectly, but correctly. Please hear my plea. This is so very important for the times we're in. And there are too many churches that are incorrectly ministering the Word of God, though it sounds good and it gives an appetite of soothing one's guilt.
Patricia, going back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, and I believe this is where we put things, kind of start wrapping things up a little bit. In Matthew 24, 36, Jesus Christ taught his generation, he's teaching you and I today, and he says this: "But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." But let's kind of put this in perspective right now. That's how it will be in the days of Noah, in the end times. But that's how it will be upon every human soul upon this earth that's going about life: marrying, giving in marriage, buying, selling, building, going through life. Everybody's going to be living, but that day comes of visitation upon us. The 12 people that just died in Virginia Beach, their day came. I'm sure they were living productive lives. They looked like beautiful people. They were going along. They probably had their 401ks. They probably had some bank accounts. They had grandkids. They had everything going. But folks, their time expired. Their vapor came to an end. The question is, were they ready in their hearts? I'm not their judge, but they will give an account to the great judge of what they did in their bodies on this earth. And the condition of their heart now is going to matter. What they were in their hearts is now going to be unveiled before their Creator. There'll be no hiding it. And so we hope and pray they were all born again. We hope and pray that they were Christian men and women. We hope and pray that they were in relationship with God, because now it matters. And it's going to matter for you and I. And we need to be working out this salvation with fear and trembling in these last days, because we don't know. Like in the days of Noah, in a general sense, we don't know when our last breath is going to be. And we need to understand where our heart is. We need to examine ourselves. We need to investigate. Where is my heart? See, I don't believe there's anything wrong with having wealth. I don't think there's anything wrong with having the things that God gives us so that we can have to share and take care of other people and enjoy good things. But when you live in an environment where everything is about how to get that stuff, and we even use the gospel for that, that's a problem. Jesus simply said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He said, don't be like the heathen nations. You know, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to put on? He says, don't live that way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He warns the rich men of the world, make sure that you're sharing your wealth. He warns the people, don't put your trust in uncertain riches. Nothing wrong with wealth. He says to the rich young ruler, go, sell everything you have, come and follow me. He went away sorrowful. There's something of an entanglement in wealth and riches when it is before God. Now, if you're like Abraham and you happen to have a lot of wealth and God calls you into eternal purpose, God didn't tell Abraham to get rid of his wealth. Abraham followed God, but Abraham's desire was the father, because the father said to him, Yahweh, I am your reward. I am your treasure. The things of the world meant nothing to Abraham, even though he had much. So we have to keep everything in perspective and everything in balance. We're living in the last days. Your heart and my heart are the issue. Our hearts are the issue. Ask yourself this honest question. If you died today and you were to give an account for the condition of your heart, is there bitterness from a divorce? Has your girlfriend dissed you or your boyfriend dissed you? Have you committed fornication? Are you lying? Are you living deceptively? Are you engaged in some sin in your life like pornography? Are you committing adultery? Are you being unfaithful? Do you have pride in your heart, jealousy, envy, anger? Are you walking in the fruit of the Spirit or in the carnality of your flesh? Are you walking in the mind of Christ or in the carnal mind that's hostile against God? Where are you? God loves you in whatever condition you're in, because we've all sinned. We get that. But he calls us to a transformation of life, a change. That's the power of the gospel, to change the inner part of a man's heart or a woman's heart. You see, religion can't do that. Philosophy can't do that. It can't. It can only change aspects of a way we think, but it can never produce the fruit of a divine nature. And that's the power of relationship with a resurrected Messiah, the only begotten Son of the Father. So how is your heart? This is the call, is it not, Patricia?
Yes, our heart is the call, because we have to understand the days and times we're in. And the Word of God teaches that in the last days, hatred toward Christians will increase. We must have our heart right to endure this. We're not going to be lifted out of here. We're going to go through to be purified. And then the coming of the Lord. In 1 John 2:18, it says, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, the word Antichrist here comes from the Greek word Antichristos, and it means opponent of the Messiah. The Bible teaches that in the last days, there will be many opponents of Jesus Christ. We are beginning to see this. We're beginning to hear about it, and it's showing indeed that it is the last days in the times we're in. It's mounting. It's happening in the schools. It's happening in the even in the regular assemblies of conferences regarding the government and multitudes of other people that are of what, Democrats? I hate to say it, but it's true.
They're always Democrats, right?
Yeah, yeah. No. But this is
that's
happening.
Not true. They're
building up a hatred.
But they'd have to repent from being a Democrat with the way that the Democrats are being today. All right.
I don't know what to call them anymore. Leftist Democrats, you know,
right,
people insane.
Right.
I don't know which way to go, and I don't want to be cruel. but it is beginning to happen against us, and it's mounting every day.
And it is an opposition against Christ. What the left
Christ
is
in us.
Projecting, what they're promoting, is an opponency, if you will, against the teachings of Christ.
And Christ in us will be recognized. So where does that leave us? In a heart condition. Our heart condition must become perfected.
And you bring up an excellent point. And here again, scripture backing up what you're saying, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, a lot of times, and let me just read another scripture out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So Paul's teaching not only his son in the faith, Timothy, but also the church at Corinth, that we are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And then in 2 Timothy, if a man purge himself, a lot of times Christians think that there's this supernatural thing going on, that there's a wand being waved over their lives, that there's no reason to investigate, there's no reason to examine, there's no reason for us to do anything, but God has given us all the tools necessary to apply the blood of Christ to the areas that are filthy and imperfect. We're to be perfecting holiness in the fear of God, not religiously, but getting our hearts cleaned up before God and purging ourselves. Why is there so little conversation about our responsibility in our journey with Jesus?
Because people don't want to be responsible. We have everything done for us these days, and we neglect responsibilities as much as it's possible to do. And I was grown up in an era where responsibility was very important. It's not important anymore. In fact, that is why we are having trouble with our youth today. They do not desire responsibility, and marijuana and drugs certainly doesn't help that cause. And they are taught that there is a wonderful society coming about that's going to give them everything they want, and everybody is going to be equal. And they have no desire to improve themselves.
Amen. Wow, that's a tough word. It's a good word, though, and it's something we need to be examining. I want to ask you a question today, wherever you are, whatever is going on in your life today. What is the most important thing going on in your world today? What are you dealing with? What are you pursuing? What are you going after? And I just want to, you know, from the biblical perspective, encourage you that while you're at your job, while you're working, while you're, you know, wanting to start a business, while you're wanting to go and make a lot of money so you could send money to missionaries, or you want to support the work of the kingdom, always check yourself and get your motive intact. A motive is the reason why we do what we do. What is your motive in your life today? What's motivating you today? Why are you doing what you're doing? Well, I'm being responsible. I'm going to work so that I could take care of the bills and I could be responsible steward with my finances. I'm going to work because I want to supply finances into the kingdom of God to get the word out. And I believe it's the last days. And so you have it in order. You have a perspective. But it's not deceptive, because you know that beyond your job, your heart is the most important thing. Your relationship with God, your relationship with the Creator through His Son, Jesus Christ, having the baptism or the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit so you could be guided by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, loved by the Holy Spirit, comforted by the Holy Spirit, divine wisdom, divine intelligence, divine strategy to forward the purposes of God through your particular moment in life. The Holy Spirit will take you into your destiny, the purpose for your existence. But there be many distractions in the world today, and they come as angels of light. and you have to beware of the angels of light, the things that appear to be the right direction, but could take you far away from the purpose and the intention of your existence. So the only way you could really ever know that is by drawing near to God through prayer, being willing to lay everything down, go in and say, Lord, I'm here, I'm available. What is it that I need to take care of? And if the Holy Spirit begins to show you areas in your life that need to get cleaned up, let's get them cleaned up, because now we're vessels meet for the master's use so that we could be powerful on this earth to do what God wants us to do without anything going to sneak up on us and take us away. Solomon was the wealthiest man in the world, but his wealth and riches took him far away from God. The original beginning of his life was, Lord, give me wisdom to run to rule your people Israel so that I could be a good king. It was a great beginning. But then wealth took over, and it took him far away from God. Again, we're not opposed to wealth, but the heart is the issue in all things.
You may ask yourself what was ministered by Pastor Vincent Xavier. How does one cleanse themselves? I thought Jesus Christ does that by the shedding of his blood. Yes, he did. He began a work in your life. But there is something we need to do, and we could begin by pursuing holiness and for waging war against the sin that remains in our life. And think what you could be for the Lord then. Think what you might do. Think how he might use you if the sins that have gained power over you were driven out. That's what deliverance is all about. But don't let an impure heart put you on the sidelines of unusefulness to God. That's foolishness. Any great work of God begins with a person who gets serious about the pursuit of holiness. And this is where you and I must go.
Amen. And that, to me, when you're saying that, is simply going back to confession. You know, there are teachers out there today that are teaching men and women in the body of Christ they don't need to confess their sin anymore. And yeah, that's in the big faith teachings. You know, you don't need to confess because you'd be spending your whole day confessing every thought and every idea. No, I totally disagree. If you're going to wash yourself and cleanse yourself, you have to do it by the tools available, which is the blood of Christ. And so every time we have a sin or we confess something that's not right, you know, men, for example, if you're eyeing the women around and you're lusting after other women, you got to realize there's an issue in your heart that you're going after other women. So you would apply the blood of Jesus. You would go to war with that spirit of lust. You would uproot it. You would actually go, if you had a garden and you saw a weed growing up that's going to choke out everything, what would you do? You'd get it out of your garden. And if you have lust in your heart towards a female, then you get it out. If you have other things going on in your heart, you have anger, you're critical. You know, these are things that you should be aware of so that the Spirit of God can lead you with the tools already given, the work that's already done, apply that work of the cross in those areas and get your heart free so that you could start to enter into the joy of the Lord and not be walking in any depression or sorrow or guilt or shame or condemnation. Because if those things exist in your heart, regardless of how hard you try to be happy, they're always going to produce the fruits of condemnation, guilt, and shame. So why don't we step out of that paradigm, move into another, be willing for the cross to cleanse us of everything that is unclean and filthy, according to that 2 Corinthians 7, and then walk in true holiness, which is not religion. It's walking in a clean heart, a pure heart. And guess what? That's going to afford the light to begin to shine in every orifice, every area of our lives. And we'll be shining forth the glories of the kingdom and the King of glory himself. There'll be no obstruction to the light shining and emanating and going forth, effulgencing out of our existence. And we will be filled of light. There'll be no darkness within us. That is an imperative for each one of us, our conscience cleared. And that's what it's all about. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse the conscience. Nothing else on the planet can. And when the conscience is clear, when your eye is single or your conscience is clear, your whole body will be full of light.
And that is so true. And we are purified through the faith that we have in what we're hearing right now. Because what that's going to do, it's going to produce love in us for ourselves and for our brothers and sisters, but greatly toward God. And our faith and hope has to be in this. we're going to be finished. So we must gather together in one mind, one spirit, and one understanding and judgment, and not be confused. And so help us, Lord, to have our hearts purified by your word of truth and the understanding that through that love is established within us. And we go from there. We don't have much of a choice. We've got to do it.
Patricia, if we don't do it, and we go back to Matthew chapter 24, and again, I want to read these words. They're so sobering. I can't walk away from them. They're so sobering because this is what Jesus said is going to happen, not potentially going to happen. He said, this is what's going to happen in the last days. Remember, Matthew 24, along with Mark 13, Luke 21, and all the other Bible verses are all talking about the environment of the global environment of the last days. Yes, they existed in 70 AD. Yes, they existed 500 years ago. Yes, they existed 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years. But here's the point. In the last days, through the interconnectedness of electronics and the internet and Israel becoming a nation, we have these major prophetic signs telling us that these are the days that Jesus was actually referring to. And here's what he said was going to happen. He said, they will deliver you up, Christians. You see, prior to verse 9, he was talking in general. Verse 9, he's talking directly to Christians, his disciples. He said, they're going to deliver you up to be afflicted. They're going to kill you. You're going to be hated of all nations for my namesake. That external satanic hatred during the Great Tribulation is very real. Read Revelation 13. It's very real. And because of that intense pressure, and everybody's still here, a lot of people thought they'd fly away in a pre-tribulational rapture, but it didn't happen. They're still here. Then, within Christendom, shall many, not a few, many, the poulos, the majority, the larger part, will be offended. That's the scandalizo. That's the trap stick. And shall betray one another and shall hate one another. This is not about the world. This is what's going on in the church, the ecclesia. Verse 11, many false prophets will rise and shall deceive many because of the atmosphere. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, the larger part, shall wax cold. What's he saying? In the last days, the larger part of professing Christians are going to fall away from the Lord. They're going to do things of betrayal and hatred, and yet the false prophets are going to be telling them they're saved, and they're probably going to be going to churches with that offense in their heart. And they, even though they've betrayed somebody, they thought they were right for doing it. I'm sure Judas Iscariot felt justified at some level of betraying Jesus Christ. And in Christendom, in marriages, Jesus said there'll be five in one house, three against two, two against three. Mother will rise up against the daughter, daughter against the mother, father against the son against the father. What is coming on this earth is very real. God is making us aware of it through the word and by the spirit. And I'm telling you that your heart, your eternal destination is more important than anything else on this earth. I'm not trying to dissuade people from working hard and going about and being a blessing and, you know, sowing into the church that you belong to, you know, making sure that the needs of your church, your local church, are taken care of, supplying ministries that are getting the word of God out there. But let's make sure that we're supplying those ministries that are giving the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God, and aren't just out there making money and fleecing the flock of God. Let's make sure that we're supplying the need to those that are preaching the truth to wake people up in these last days about the most important thing. And I'm telling you, if you spend the next 10 years going to college, working hard, building a business, and all your pursuit is money, you may be very disappointed. And like those people in Virginia Beach, you may never actually arrive there. And if you don't, what's the condition of your heart? That's the whole purpose of today's broadcast.
I agree. And it's so important and so necessary to hear what you heard today. It is for me. I hope it is for you. And there is a wonderful scripture in 1 John 3:2-3 that I have always adored and loved. And I thought I saw it in a certain manner and way that I haven't heard taught too often, but I would like to express what I believe it means. It says, dear friends, now we are children of God. So we receive that. We are now children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. We don't know yet, but it's coming. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, not wrongly, but as he is, not with false ideas and concepts, but as he is, we shall see him. And all who have this hope, do you have this hope that you're going to see him? All who have this hope in him purifies themselves. Remember, we said that the purification needs to be done by us. Purifies themselves. How? Through this hope, just as he is pure. But here's the point I want to make. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. How are we going to be when he comes? We're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. How will we see him as he is? Because we will be like him. And that is the goal, to be like him.
And Patricia, the thing that motivates us into that way of life, you see, we exclude all personal works for salvation. We exclude all of that self-righteousness, holier than thou. I know people out there, all they want to do is find fault with people in ministries. And, you know, that's their whole job. They feel justified in that. But listen, we are excluding all self-righteousness, all holier than thou spirits. We are excluding all of that. However, the fear of the Lord compels us to these scriptures to be active in what Christ has provided for us. We know that he has done the work, and yet we see the responsibility in these scriptures that are very plain that we need to be doing our part. And it is in the fear of the Lord that this work is accomplished. He's already done it, but we have to receive it. Remember, everything we do in our relationship to God is by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So by faith, we take heed to the scriptures, the word of God, which is being opposed in the world in which we live. I mean, many people still in the scientific community want to oppose the word of God. Much of science has already agreed that the word of God is real, genuine, true, valid. But we, by faith, do these things. And by faith, we cleanse ourselves. By faith, we purge ourselves. By faith, we purify ourselves. This is all new covenant, and it's the way for each one of us to go.
Amen to that. I couldn't agree with that more. I'm telling you, it is the way of holiness. The idea of fearing God doesn't mean that he's an evil person out there ready to condemn us under any. No, we are already condemned because of our lifestyles in sin. But the reverence is what we're talking about. The fear of God is reverence for who he is. He's the creator of all things. How mighty can you be? I mean, come on, folks. But once you begin to fear him, the Bible tells us it's the beginning of wisdom. And with the beginning of wisdom, we have everything for our lives to be perfected.
Amen. Well said, Patricia. As we're winding down now, we want to encourage people to get over to www.omegaradio.org, where we're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've built this internet radio station by the grace of God. We've been broadcasting live now for several months, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, omegaradio.org. And I want our listeners to know today that right now, from this very moment, you and I can step into the light and the glory. You and I could step into the liberty and the freedom that Jesus Christ has given to us. We can take all of our Listen, we can take all of our baggage into the light and allow that light to take that baggage away from us. We could confess our sins. We could get rid of our self-righteous attitudes, our different, you know, problems that we're having. We could bring them to the Lord. He's not telling us to act like we don't have these issues. We bring them to him and we let the cross slay those areas, but we have to be willing to lay them down and get rid of them so that a new life can commence in us. I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord will be your strength in the last days. Please, right now, over at omegaradio.org, there is a roundtable discussion, one of the best I've ever heard. It's going on, roundtable discussion. Get over there. It's a big one. Until now, we'll see you tomorrow right at 9 o'clock. Today we had a lot of glitches. We'll get our voices back. We'll do all that good stuff. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless everybody. Until we meet again, I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministry. I've been joined with my beloved wife, Patricia Joy. Right now, www.omegaradio.org. Roundtable discussion. Here it goes.